Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. In 1959, at the age of 6, I was given a special birthday gift by a family member. The gift was a crystal radio kit, something that I had been asking for. A crystal radio employed a galena crystal, a natural mineral form of lead sulfide that had semiconductor properties. When touched with a special thin wire called a cat's whisker, the crystal rectified radio band signals and generated enough current to operate a small earpiece for listening. I was thrilled to pick up stations from as far away from New York as Chicago and Canada, and this solidified my thirst for knowledge of electronics and crystal properties at a very young age. In the late 1980s, I began to appreciate the healing and metaphysical properties of crystals. How may crystals help us heal? Are there special crystals for each of us, and how may we use them in our spiritual practices? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Dr. Kak Young, is an expert on crystals, as well as other forms of natural healing, hypnotherapy, and nutrition. Kak Young has been a producer, writer, and director in the Hollywood television industry for more than 25 years. Kak has also earned a PhD in natural health and a doctorate in naturopathy. She completed 36 courses in nutrition from Baylor University. Clients come to her for advice on health, nutrition, and spiritual well-being. Using her third doctorate degree in clinical hypnotherapy, she helps people manage weight control, smoking cessation, behavior modification, stress reduction, past life regression, and phobia management. She's the author of 16 books, including The Healing Art of Essential Oils, Cheese Dome Power, The Path to Fabulous, The Quick Guide to Bach Flower Remedies, and Supreme Healing. She's also a licensed religious science minister, a certified archetypal therapist and counselor, a certified meditation teacher, a career coach for aspiring actors and directors, a medical Qigong teacher, and a former pilot of private airlines. She is active on behalf of animal rights and fostering and preserving women's rights globally. Her website is kakyoung.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and her new book, Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Healing and Health. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus, Kak Young. Welcome, Kak.
Thank you, Victor. Thank you very much. What a lovely intro.
And Kak, after reading a bio like yours, my first question has to be, and when do you sleep? Or what do you do on Tuesdays? You have charted a remarkable and diverse career. Let's start with your early path and your career in the entertainment industry. Please tell us about it.
Sure. Well, I started working in television because I realized that you couldn't make any money in theater. And I started at the Mark Taper Forum with Gordon Davidson in the 70s. And from there, I went into television. I loved television. I loved the medium because it was so immediate and it was really authentic. It was real. The camera reads everything that is in a person's heart and soul. And if they're acting, they still have to tell the truth. I was attracted, I think, to the truth of the medium and the honesty of the actors. I really do think that they are vehicles for channeling really interesting emotions and information and learning to us. So I worked my way up the ladder. I was a stage manager for Cher on her show. I became an associate director for Joshua White and did rock and roll shows on this continent and in Europe. I was even a dramatic person from my training in the theater, and so I produced General Hospital for quite a few years. And I was able to broaden my career. Back in those days, you didn't have to specialize like a physician has to specialize now. I mean, I was kind of like the general practitioner of television. And I hired myself to direct a couple of things because that's the only way you could get into the Directors Guild. And so I just kind of made my way. And I worked for Dick Clark and I worked for a lot of amazing people and I learned a lot of lessons. I ended up working for Bob Stivers and all of his shows, Command Performance, the People's Choice Awards, Circus of the Stars. And I was exposed to many people and many styles and many things. And I think my biggest lesson in show business, besides I also got to travel around the world, which was amazing. And but my biggest lesson was when a stage manager who was 55 years old dropped dead in front of me. And then I had to be the stage manager for that day. And we had Elton John and Michael Jackson and all these big people. And I was like I was like the go-to person instantly. So I sort of I was thrown into the fire and I said, okay, I can do this. Meanwhile, trying to get, our beloved stage manager, our head stage manager, off to the doctor. And it was horrendous. And what I realized later is that I was in an industry that is full of pressure, competition, last minute stuff, and everybody was always on high whip. Your engines revved for the moment that you walked into that sound stage until we finished, which was always a very long day. And when he dropped dead, I said to myself, self, do you want to have a short life or do you want to have a long life? And that's when I decided that if I wanted to stay in the industry, I needed to learn tools. And I became a student of various different metaphysical avenues for the rest of my life. And I was lucky because I was able to work with experts in all the fields, in crystals, in Bach flowers, in hypnotherapy, in healing wherever I went. I studied with shamans around the world in Hawaii and in Europe and Asia. I was fortunate to have a magical thing called a hiatus. Most people get a vacation of 2 weeks, but in show business, we have a hiatus of like 6 to 9 weeks. So during that time, I would take off and go somewhere and learn something. And I wanted to share this with other people who were possibly relying on nicotine or caffeine or alcohol or something to keep them working and focused. And I remember the wonderful talent in my life who would say little morsels of wisdom to me that kept me thinking, okay, there is life after show business, and I don't have to spend every waking weekend in the edit room. So I began taking care of myself, and that's where I came across all these different tools. And now I'm at a time in my life where I'm still working in show business as a consultant and I'm still writing, but I am now sharing everything that was given to me and gifted to me. I'm sharing it now with as many people as I can so that I can encourage them to understand that these aren't just fly-by-night kinds of things. This isn't woo-hoo. This is integration of the body, mind, and soul at the most powerful levels, in touch with and connected to the cosmos and connected to the earth. I mean, the Chinese and Japanese have taught us that through their medicine and through their philosophies for eons. And now we're just getting in the West. But it is so important that we learn that we are part of three things. There are three tiers. There's the cosmos and its energy, there's the earth and its energy, and there's us in between. And our job as living human beings is to connect the two.
Absolutely. A couple of questions before we talk about your healing path. While you were working in the entertainment industry as a woman and your current work in advocacy for women's rights, w were you treated in a different way than your male colleagues?
Yes, of course. That's why I took martial arts. I was able to fend for myself. I mean, I'll tell you, at meetings with various different talent and managers over the years, old people would hand me a hotel room key and thought nothing of it, and or they would suggest that, we have a 1 a.m. meeting or something. There was always that. And there was always somebody, with a wandering hand and a shiftless eye. And I just learned how to deal with that. I was probably, well, sometimes they called me the Bette Midler of the control room because I wasn't afraid to stand up to them and match them. If they were going to be bawdy, well, I could bawdy right back if I needed to. Hopefully, I retained my sense of being a lady. But there were times when I had to defend myself, and I got a reputation for, don't mess with me. And I would kind of couch it in, look, I'm Irish, and so you don't want to get my Irish up. And it was funny because I would go into meetings literally, and people will say, well, there's the child prodigy. I produced a special with Raquel Welch in Las Vegas when I was 26. And then I produced another special with Vic Damone and Carol Lawrence in Australia and New Zealand. And then I traveled around the world with Neil Diamond as the associate director, associate producer of his 1976 South Pacific tour. So, and I was always the youngest one and the littlest one, and but I had a great time because when I began to use that in my favor, nobody did mess with me ultimately, but I had to learn how to stand my ground and to do it with humor, hopefully.
Absolutely. The second question that came to mind is many would think that your first and second paths might be mutually exclusive. Did you find any challenges when you chose to pursue natural healing?
Well, no, because it fit in so nicely for me. I sort of sandwiched it in between my gigs, and I was able to use what I learned in metaphysics and healing and the connectedness of nature. And I was able to use that so that I didn't get caught up in the craziness of it all. I was able to place things where they needed to be, know that this was only temporary, and to see the higher cause and the greater good. And so a lot I was able to let a lot of it roll off my back because of what I was being taught and what I was beginning to really believe is the truth. And that really stood strong for me. I was able to be in meetings with some of the most powerful people in show business and not be intimidated by them, to be able to speak my mind and to do it with kindness and to use always the truth, to never make up something for my own benefit, but really to stay on a straighter line than I had ever learned in, like, say, the Catholic Church where I was raised. I mean, that was all malarkey to me when I really learned the truths that the Vedas knew and that some of the ancient peoples knew. I mean, standing in some of these sacred sites, you just automatically, all this information is downloaded to you. You cannot help but walk away from that as a better person, a wholer person, someone who's deeply connected to the truth.
And the other part of that question, and we're going to move on after this, is that many of the creative people in the entertainment industry, the performers, the writers, those who are engaged in the actual performance, would understand and appreciate this type of work. But what about the executives? Did they consider this woo-woo?
Well, I don't think it ever really came up. I think now some of my colleagues are looking at the books that I'm writing and sort of looking at that and rolling their eyes a little bit. But that's okay because it's their wives and girlfriends and some of the female executives that call me on the side and say, explain some of this to me. How can this work? And I always talk to them in terms of how it can help them, what these tools can do for them, whether it's essential oils, Bach flowers, crystals, or whatever, and how they can integrate it into their own personal growth.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of your earlier books first and the practices they entail. Tell us about the healing art of essential oils.
Ah, the healing art of essential oils. Yes, that's really wonderful. I began dabbling in essential oils, oh gosh, 30 years ago, I think. And I just did what most beginners do. You start out with maybe a little bit lavender, and you make the mistakes, and you put it on your hands, and you realize, I need to dilute these. Gosh, I've got red marks. So you kind of stumble into your greatness. And I decided that people were getting interested in essential oils, but they didn't know what I knew. And I wrote the book through, Llewellyn was very helpful. But I wrote the book in order to teach people the truth about essential oils, that they are extraordinarily powerful and they are very gentle at the same time. But if you misuse them, just like anything else, you could be harmed. You can hurt yourself, and never, ever ingest them. Never, ever put them inside your body.
And just share a couple of the oils and what their properties are.
Well, I think lavender is one that I really enjoy. It's probably my number one oil. And I would think that, it has calmative properties. It has properties that are soothing to the skin. It can help you heal physically. And when you inhale that aroma and it gets into the limbic system of your brain, it can also open up and heal and allow you to connect with the higher realms if you choose to do so. Lavender is a good oil to diffuse and meditate with. It's very, you have to dilute all these oils again in a carrier oil. And when you put it on your skin, it can smooth your skin. It can heal your skin. It has those healing properties. I mean, if you want to get into the chemicals, we can. But I love that because it's kind of a go-to all-purpose oil that pretty much anybody can use.
Wonderful. And then let's talk about your other books, Cheese Dome Power. What an intriguing title. What is Cheese Dome Power and how does it work?
Oh, Cheese Dome Power is amazing. My friend Peggy Jones, in the 90s, she had all of her kids off doing something amazing and scary. And so she was constantly nervous and she went over across the street at the garage sale, and the only thing she could buy really was wanted to buy was a cheese dome. So she brought it home and she began to put like prayer requests, but affirmations, things that had already happened and that were positive. And she put those in the cheese dome and it began to create kind of a magical prayer center where things got answered. So I had her put my request that I had in the cheese dome. Pretty soon she was getting calls from all over and she was, I got to get another cheese dome. She had so much. And things were happening. When people ask, oh, would you put my daughter in your cheese dome? She needs to get a job or she wants to get pregnant or my son needs to have some success in his life. He needs to study harder. All of a sudden, things started happening. So she gave me my own cheese dome and I began to use it. And people would come into my house for meetings and say, well, what's that? Why do you have all those notes under that cheese dome? So I'd say, well, it's really a prayer center and it answers prayers. So I had lots of people wanting to do that. And all of a sudden I was getting all the calls. Hey, can you put, I really want to date this guy. Can you put that in the cheese dome? And so I wrote a book. I said, all right, here's how we figured out how it works. We have no idea how it works truly, other than it does. And so I teach how to use the cheese dome, how to formulate the prayer request, the affirmations, and then what to do. I mean, there are steps. And Peggy and I really kind of refined it over the years. And then I took I handle Southern California. She handles the Northwest with the cheese dome. And I've got cheese dome people all over the world now. We have a cheese dome caravan that stretches like a rainbow around the world. It's very fun. And people swear by it. They swear by it. Once you use the cheese dome, it changes your life for the good.
Now, the type of cheese that was stored in the dome before using it for the affirmations and prayers, does that make a difference? In other words, do you have a cheddar dome that works a certain way and a Swiss dome that works another?
I think it's all the same. It's all one. It's all good.
That's funny. My guest this week on Vox Novus is Kak Young. We're going to be talking about her book, Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Health and Healing. I'm cracking myself up, unfortunately. Kak, please tell our listeners where they can find your books and your website and all about the wonderful work that you do.
Well, okay, so Crystal Power and the Healing Art of Essential Oils, those are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through Target, or wherever you get your books, you can find them there. And the rest of my books, my personal books, are on my website, kakyoung.com, or on Amazon. Everything is available on Amazon now in KDP. So there you have it.
And for people looking to have sessions with you,
they can give me a call or they can email me. Just work through my website, kakyoung.com, send me a request, and we can set it up in person, distanced now, or over the phone or on Skype or Zoom.
And that's kakyoung.com. And we'll be back with more of Kak Young and Crystal Power after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
When you're unemployed, it can seem like there's no way out. But with the right tools, suddenly it all just clicks. Develop new skills and find your path to a new career at findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Dr. Kak Young. We're talking about her books and her new book, Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Health and Healing. So before we go on to Crystal Power, let's talk a little bit more about a couple of older books. Your familiarity with Bach Flower Remedies. Tell us about a quick guide to Bach Flower Remedies.
Well, great. And the fun part is that the English pronounce it Batch. So we call it Bach, they call it Batch. He was a Scotsman, and or a Welshman, but a Scotsman Welsh. And he his name was Batch, Edward Batch. I loved that he discovered these flower remedies because he was an award-winning bacteriologist doctor in London, and he would go into the National Natural Conservatory for lunch breaks, and he would watch the birds, and he would watch all the natural animals and birds that were there, and he came up with some healing theories that they would heal themselves and fix themselves by using flowers and the things that were around them in the trees and on the ground. So he began experimenting with these plant essences. And what he does is he takes everything is all pure, pure, pure. Nothing has got a pesticide on it. It's all organic and pure. So he would take spring water up into the mountains, and he would pick the blossoms of various different, let's just say, anything that he was working with at the time. So all of the batch flower essences are named after the plant. So if he had Sorrento, then he would take the blossoms of the Sorrento, and he would allow it to float in the water under the sun for a certain amount of time, sometimes under the lunar light, and then he would bottle it, and he would use that with his patients. Now, some critics say, well, that he just used it as a placebo and they were going to heal anyway. Well, he was a doctor. He was a bacteriologist. He invented injecting certain viruses and bacterium back into a person in order to cure them. So he was really ahead of his way in almost a homeopathic style. So when he played with things, he knew it wasn't just a placebo, and any more than us taking a medicine now, an allopathic medicine, sometimes it could be a placebo, and sometimes it can actually be the body working with the chemical or the compound that it doesn't have that it needs. Sometimes it supplements. Anyway, so he would use these flower essences, and he created 38 of them, or 39 if you include Rescue Remedy, which is a combination of five of his flower remedies. And he would use them for different people, and they would get well. He discovered that there are seven personality traits that determine what kind of an illness a person is going to get. So if you have, personality trait 1 through 7. If you have 3, then he might use walnut on you. He might use vine on you. He might use another combination. So when I began to study these, I thought it was very simple and very clear and very intuitive. And I've been to Dr. Batch's house in England. It's very humble. I've been in his gardens. I have photographed them. It's just wonderful there. Very pleasant, very, very not manicured, very wild, but it's true to what he absolutely believed, and that is that the body always seeks to heal itself. And all we have to do as physicians and or humans is allow that healing process to reveal itself within our bodies.
Thank you for sharing the correction of his name is Batch, because I've always called it Bach. And also, that would make a wonderful documentary.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that there are, filmic records of this somehow. He was a very amazing guy, lived in a very small little town. And he was, he was not unfamiliar at the pub either. So he spent his days healing after he retired out of his full-time practice in London. And then he would be jolly and sing and carry on with the locals at the pub. So Dr. Batch, I just wish I would have met him.
Absolutely. What inspired your book, Supreme Healing?
Well, everything that I have learned and everything that I believe, I was able to put into Supreme Healing. It's about how we heal. I back up a lot of my thinking with Deepak Chopra and Andrew Weil, because I do believe that the more you have gathered at the same thinking table or the same, thought together, you will be able to have a stronger point. So Supreme Healing, I have laid out how you do it, how you clear yourself of obstacles so that your body can go about the process of healing. The body always seeks to heal itself. We know that from just getting a paper cut, and we can watch the healing before our eyes, and we've done nothing to help it. It just goes back together. That is the magnetic attraction that the body has to heal itself. And sometimes we just have to get out of the way. We have to give it the right nutrients. We have to give it the right peace of mind. We have to go inside. We have to allow. And Americans have a lot of trouble allowing, but when we master allowing the body and respecting that, getting in touch with, being connected to, we automatically, it begins to get those healing juices happening. And it's a remarkable process. And I think that Supreme Healing takes you through it, explains a lot of things. I have some cosmic information in there as well, but it's really a book that I loved to write. I absolutely loved it. And I teach Supreme Healing as a course as well to people, and I show them firsthand how they can heal.
Wonderful. In our introduction, I mentioned my fascination with Galena in crystal radios as a young boy. What was your first experience with crystals?
Well, I did have a crystal radio, too. I think my first experience was the needle on a turntable is made out of crystal.
Yes.
And it picks up the vibrations and sends it up through the electronics in the arm down into the speakers and the tuner. And that is then amplified out to us. So the crystal, just like your radio, is picking up the vibrations and the signals and translating it. Then I think crystals, I grew crystal rocks as a kid. I had a little kit and I grew those rocks I got for Christmas. And I was just fascinated with them. And then I began to collect them. So I had them around mostly. I think people are connected to crystals or attracted to them visually. And then perhaps they like the touch of them or the color of them. And then they become intuitively interrelated with the crystal. It just pulls you in. And the more you allow yourself to be pulled in, the more information the two of you can share. Because crystals are, they are alive, they have vibrations, and they breathe. Not in the same way we breathe, but they breathe too. Just like everything else breathes. Even a pen breathes its own way of breathing. That's how things stay alive and stay present. There is nothing dead on this earth.
Absolutely. Is working with crystals a product of the New Age, or is there a long and storied history?
Yes, it goes back way into the ancients. Every single culture has used stones and crystals. Even the breastplate of Aaron from the Old Testament has 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Egypt. And each one has a different color representing different qualities and different strengths. Every single civilization or has used crystals for some sort of healing, and now they've either applied them to the body or they have worn them. In fact, the jewelry as we know it today originated in Egypt. Cleopatra wore earrings not as decoration, but because she was healing different points, different chakra points. The one of my greatest journeys was sailing up the Nile, and it is built according to the chakras. You start with the root chakra and work all the way up to the seventh chakra, to the crown chakra, as you visit the various different temples. And what you do in these temples is you do what the Egyptians did. You purify that chakra and you cleanse it and you give it strength, and then you move on to the next one. That's what the whole design of the Nile was, all the way up into Cairo and Alexandria. So the ancients used these, and Cleopatra wore them. If you see people wearing necklaces and they're wearing different stones, that's putting them on PowerPoints. That's understanding the body and how the meridians work and how and where the centers of power lie within the body. And so they would enhance them by wearing a stone in that place. It wasn't just, oh, look at me, how pretty my ears are. No, there were definitely sensitive areas in the ear that can be healed by putting stones in the proximity of the ear.
We talked about the, alluded to the different frequencies in crystals. What is the energy theory behind the way crystals work?
Well, the energy theory is in relationship to humans, it is because we are composed of silicon and dioxide, and so are crystals. We both vibrate. There are electromagnetic fields that surround the crystal and are within the crystal, and there are electromagnetic fields that are also within us and outside of us. And the way we heal with crystals is that we put our field of energy together with the crystal's field of energy. And the crystal, as you know from the crystal radio, it takes orders. So you command it or tell it what to do with that energy, and that's its job. And so its assignment becomes then to heal, to inspire, to reach out, to communicate, to do whatever it is we humans decide. The crystal has the power. We have the mind and we have the direction. And that's how they work. And it's not woo-woo. It's science. So when you hold, if you were to hold, according to Robert Simmons, if you were to hold a calcium crystal in your hand and you allow that to, and you did it for a while, your body would pick up the vibration of the calcium crystal, and it would tell your brain through these vibrations and this electromagnetic energy that you had enough or maybe too much calcium in your body. So then your desire to input calcium into your body would recede. If you put the crystal down, the calcium crystal down, then your body would go back to its normal configuration. So we have yet to really fine-tune that kind of work, but it is happening. You know, Bell Labs used the red ruby laser for a lot of its electronics, and we have laser surgery now because they use the red ruby crystal. It is the purest, and it has the largest band of light that it can hold within the physical crystal, and that's why we can do these remote surgeries and we can do these laser-pointed surgeries. It's all because of crystals.
Absolutely. Your book, Crystal Power, features what you call the 12 essential crystals. How did you select these 12, and did the others feel left out?
Yes, they cried. I had to do a lot of counseling on the crystals that I left out. I did. It was so hard. I had a big spreadsheet of all my crystals and what they do, and I took the human emotions, and then because I bring in the laws of karma, essential oils, and chakras, I had to just whittle this all down, and it took a while to really, but in meditation, I just asked to be given the right 12. Let me see clearly which 12 line up with all of these things. And in my practice, I began to use different colored stones for chakra work or even emotional work, which I describe a lot in that chapter. And instead of, doing what a lot of massage therapists do, and here we'll put a blue stone at the throat chakra, we'll put a green stone or a pink stone at the heart chakra. No, that doesn't heal. All that does is just, put a period on the sentence. If you want to heal, you have to stimulate the energies around that, and you have to use the opposites. So I experimented with using opposites in order to heal, in order to electromagnetically charge up that chakra and say, all right, you're stuck in this area. Let's go with this crystal that's going to help break that up, and then let's go with this crystal that's going to help replace what is lacking or stagnant. And So that's how I came up with all of that. And it works. I mean, the shapes of crystals, for example, there is no one place that it was decided that a generator crystal should have 6 points and it should do X, Y, and Z. It's just been handed down by metaphysicians for centuries. And I love that because it's our oral history of healing that has brought us to that conclusion. So I list those too, the shapes. Some of the shapes will help you do certain other things if you want to. And you'll know once you get involved with your crystals and you touch them and you handle them and you cleanse them and you relate to them, you chat with them. You have to get to know the tools that you're going to be healing with. And once you know that, they begin to speak to you in the way that you just know what's right and you know how each one will interact and counteract the other one.
Her name is Kak Young. Her book is Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Health and Healing. We'll be back with more after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Dr. Kak Young. She's the author of Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Health and Healing. Kak, briefly share the crystals that you included and their major attributes.
Okay, let me get my list out here. All right, I have amethyst, black tourmaline, carnelian, citrine, clear quartz, fluorite, jade, lapis lazuli, red jasper, rose quartz, selenite, and turquoise. Those are my 12.
And what are their basic properties?
Wow. Okay. So just quickly, I'll give you the top three things that I think they accomplish. Amethyst represents psychic temperance, or being able to control yourself, and it's a protection stone. Citrine relates to success, abundance, and personal power. It's also a stone that doesn't need cleansing. It cleanses itself. Rose quartz has love, balance, forgiveness. Fluorite gives you clarity, purpose, and order. Black tourmaline is grounding. It too has protection, and it offers stability. Jade represents abundance, love, and balance. Turquoise is protection, energy, and serenity. It's a different kind of a protection than some of the others. Red jasper gives you strength, courage, and healing. Carnelian, creativity, courage, and assistance. Selenite, mental clarity, psychic ability, and the angels. It brings in angels. Lapis is about truth, inner power, and organization. And of course, the number one, well, the big daddy of them all is the clear quartz, and it brings power, energy, and clarity.
Wonderful. Now, you were talking before about how when crystals are used with the chakras, that one, some people think that you match them to the color that's associated with the chakra, but they really don't. How do the crystals resonate with the different chakras?
Well, for example, the first chakra, the root chakra, you would use black tourmaline and red jasper. Now, it enhances the second and the seventh chakras, and it weakens the third. So there you have that kind of Chinese medicine sort of yin-yang thing. And when you work with chakras, you just don't say, oh, okay, I'll just put red stones there. I'll put rubies and the red jasper, and I'll put carnelians. No, no, no. That's the easy way. You have to be much more sophisticated when you use these energies of the crystals. That's why I recommend you get to know them. You know, like you go out for coffee, or, you know, back in the day when we could go out for coffee with a friend, you get to know them, you get to know their story, you know, a little bit about their family. That's what we have to do with our crystals. We have to take them to tea and sit down and chat with them and get to know them. And, you know, people say, well, that's nuts. I don't have time to do that. Well, if you want to use these beautiful, natural healing energies, you really have to make some time to do that. Just as you want to get to know your pets, you get to know your crystals. I have my crystals, and, you know, we chat with each other all the time. And Victor, they saved my house from burning in the Thomas fire. Every other house around me for blocks and blocks burned down. Mm. And there were three little houses here on this cul-de-sac that didn't burn. And I'm right on the corner, so it should have. We lost a third of the house. But my crystals stood there. And when I walked into the house, I mean, the fire people had broken down the door, and the windows were, you know, it wasn't ideal, but the backyard had burned. We lost a lot of things, but the crystals preserved the house, and they sat there. There's 12 of them that sit there, and they overlook the Pacific Ocean here, and they were strong enough to say, no, this is a sacred space. We are going to hold the energy and preserve it, and the fire can just go around us. You know, and when I evacuated, the flames were 80 feet tall coming up off the park towards us, and that was like 100 feet away.
Oh,
so
my.
They did their job.
Wonderful. You had mentioned using crystals with essential oils. Please give us one example.
Okay, well, I like to pair crystals with essential oils because I think that essential oils have natural power, natural properties as well. They are healing in and of themselves in various different degrees. So, for example, I would pair peppermint with clear quartz, and that would also resonate with the crown chakra. I would pair lapis lazuli with rosemary because that would also help the third eye, and that would give us instinct, and it would give us oversight, and it would give us connection, and just kind of like an open sky with stars in it. That's what lapis is. So, and rosemary would really just stimulate all that you need for that psychic intuitive connection.
Wonderful. You know, one thing that I did not know before reading your book were the crystals that are associated with the various signs of the zodiac. I apparently selected mine intuitively. I've been wearing black tourmaline since the late 1980s, and from reading your book, I learned that that is the crystal of my sign Capricorn. What are some of the other crystal zodiac associations?
Well, let's see. Once again, I like to refer to my chart here so that I'm, you know, we have different kinds of, associations. We have our spiritual stones and we have our birthstones. So let me see if I can find that for us quickly.
But it's so funny, when I walked into a crystal store back in the late 80s and I was looking for something, the black tourmaline said, take me. And I've been wearing one ever since.
Well, that's great. You know, it has the striations on the outside, which really directs the cosmic energy and the earth energy right into you. So, and it's a non-judgmental stone as well. It's just, it's amazing that way. And we also don't want to do crystal selection based on the color of our birthstone. That's kind of like not what we do.
Right.
We want to do that crystal selection based a lot on intuition. And if it just happens to line up, you know, that's really good.
It was awesome.
So a crystal quartz, for example, is all signs. And amethyst goes with Aquarius. I happen to like it. I'm a Virgo, but I happen to like amethyst as well. And it is my spiritual stone, but it's also on the opposite side of the zodiac, which balances me. Rose quartz goes with Libra, red jasper with Scorpio, carnelian with Aries, lapis with Sagittarius as well, and selenite goes with Gemini and Cancer, and citrine is with Leo. Let's see, who did I forget here? Black tourmaline, of course, is Capricorn, and turquoise is Taurus. And that just kind of lays out what I feel vibrationally and the qualities of the stones as paired with the qualities of the astrological sign. I go with positive and negatives. What are the affirmative and what are the, learning curves that each sign needs, and based on that I'll select a stone that has the same properties, and then we kind of work those vibrations together. But I don't like to pair something that's up that's like identical. It's like twins. That's a Gemini, but you don't need to have a twin. You need to have something that is your complementary opposite or 45 degree angle kind of an energy that comes at you. So if you're all the same, then you're boring. But if you really stimulate all those different parts of yourself simultaneously with different types of stones and different oils and even the Bach flowers, you can utilize all of those to keep yourself harmonizing, which is what we want to do. We always want to keep the balance in our bodies, minds, and soul so that we can work as a harmonic unit. And that's where our power is. That's where our greatness is. And that's where our life path should be operating at, because then we're the top and the best of the best of what we can be. So all these things work as a tool to create that perfection within ourselves.
And what message would you give readers about your book?
I would say that if you're curious about crystals and you're really serious and you want to heal, this book isn't just a casual read at the beach. This is a book to really begin to understand them, to put some time into them, and to increase your wealth of knowledge so that you can utilize this natural gift from our earth for your own benefit and healing, and also extend that to the rest of the world.
Her name is Dr. Kak Young. Her book is Crystal Power, 12 Essential Crystals for Health and Healing. Kak, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your books and find out more about you and your wonderful work.
Okay, my books are available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you get your books. I've seen them in some wonderful, wonderful, unique places. And also online, you can reach me at Kak Young, and that's K-A-C, Kitchen Apple Charlie, kakyoung.com. All my books, you can learn a little bit more about them there. You can also contact me through that website if you want some personal help and healing. I'm available, I'm here, and my mission is to bring all the tools that I know about into the world so we can use them.
Kak, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this wisdom and your splendid sense of humor also in your background and experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Victor. I really appreciate who you are and what you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.